but in it. Everything is a very broad scope that takes in all. And we are to be thankful in everything. While it's going on, we're to be thankful. Today our word is continuing. Last week was everything. Today is continuing. Continuing. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 10, it begins by the author telling us we have an altar. We have an altar. Now, that altar is not a physical altar that you see in churches. It's not an altar built with stones, wood, material, with a flat surface. It's a spiritual altar, but we have it. And I want you to notice in verse 10, in the very first sentence, there's we and there's they. We have two identities of people. We and they. Not everybody has this altar. We, the author of the book of Hebrews, and I believe the author to be Paul, declares, including himself with all the others, we have an altar. He is claiming that. And at the same time, identifying that there are some that do not have. They have something else. They have not this altar. They have something else. Because he very plainly states, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. They have no right to this altar. There's two systems running along side by side. It's true and false. It's good, it's evil. It's right, it's wrong. And they're running parallel. And they've been running parallel to each other, we and they, ever since Cain and Abel. Ever since the two firstborn people ever to be born upon this earth, born of woman, there has been two identities running parallel, side by side. We and they. And they're not in any way compatible, agreeable, likable. For we know in the very beginning, Cain attempted to completely isolate and do away with we. Completely do away with it so that it didn't exist. So these two continued to run. They ran throughout all the Old Testament. They were running at the time of Christ. They're running at the time after, in the beginning of the church, and they've run parallel to each other all the way down to the present. Parallel. Right and wrong, true, false, good, evil, run parallel to each other. I hope this morning you're in the category of we. I hope you're not in the category of they. Because they are of a different identity. And if traces, if you trace all the way back, you trace it all the way back to Cain. Is where you trace it to. So we have an altar. Now, in the Bible, there's a lot of symbolic, picturesque terminology. We, and I'll just narrow that down to the true believer. The true believer. And we'll see at the conclusion of what we better have our faith in. So let's just assume this morning that we're all in the category of the we. Let's just assume it. Although after almost 43 years at this, I don't assume anything anymore. We. I hope you're in that category this morning, and for the sake of the study, we'll assume that. We are pictured in the Bible. In the New Testament, we are pictured as the temple of God. Know ye not, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, your body. So we individually have the Holy Spirit of God in us, and we are called the temple. In the temple, in the Old Testament, and during the time of Christ, is where the sacrifices were made. It's where the priesthood functioned. It's where the daily prayers were offered. The national day as well. Passover. And all of the spiritual religious activity of the law, ceremonial law, was carried on in the temple. In the temple. When Jesus died on Calvary, was buried, and resurrected the third day, and then 40 days later ascended into heaven, all of that system ended in the program of God, not with man. Man, through Cain, carried it on. For those of you that have been with us on Wednesday night Bible studies, you remember when we started the book of Romans. People flood, and I literally mean flood, to the program of God, but completely ignore his person. They're not interested in the person of God, just the program of God. And it didn't become any different with the nation of Israel. They were more interested in the program than they were the person, and completely left him out of their program. Because man wants to be someone. Man wants to be important. Man wants to boast. Man wants to include himself. The problem is God excludes all man except to be just a recipient of his grace and mercy. That's all we are. We are the recipients. And once we receive him and what he did for us on Calvary, then we're pictured and we are in the we. Every temple, the temple had in it an altar. There was the altar of sacrifice and there was the altar of incense. The altar of sacrifice and the altar of incense. Now we know the altar of sacrifice has been fulfilled and there is to be no more sacrifices for sin. Once and for all, Jesus cried, finished. And it's done. There is no more sacrifice for sin. There is no more altar for sin. There's no more priesthood to try to take care of the problem of sin. It was all done. It was all accomplished, all fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. So this altar is not the altar of sacrifice. Jesus Christ was the altar of sacrifice. There was also the altar of incense. It was in the holy place. There was two compartments in the tabernacle, then finally the temple. And separating the two compartments, the one called the holy place, and then the second compartment was called the Holy of Holies. In between those two compartments was a great veil. Some theologians believe it was up to a foot thick of linen. Just one sheet of linen after another, after another, after another, up to about a foot thick. That separated the two compartments in the temple. In the holy place was the altar, what was called the altar of incense. To the one side there was a table which had showbread on it, and to the other side there was a lampstand, candlesticks. We're going to be seeing that on Sunday nights in our study. Probably not tonight, but maybe next Sunday night. And that's where the priest functioned every day. Every day. Remember that. And our word today is continually. Every day the priesthood functioned in the holy of holy, in the holy place, where the incense was, where the altar of incense was, where the prayers were offered. You go beyond that veil, is the Holy of Holies, and there's where the Ark of the Covenant was. This is all described over in chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10 of this book called the Hebrews, because they were very familiar with the temple and the tabernacle. Only once a year was that room visited, and it was visited by the high priest. They tied a rope around his ankle and bells around his skirt. And he would go down and underneath that veil and go in, and he would function for the sins of the nation of Israel. Once a year he went in with the blood off of the sacrifice, the altar of sacrifice. And he would spread blood all over. That was called the mercy seat. And if the high priest lived, if the high priest lived, God says, I accept it. If he didn't, they'd drag him out of there. Amazing, the high pontiff in Rome was caught liking something that was kind of racy. That corruption has been in this church. That's been in this church. They say if you go to certain areas of the Vatican, you'll find babies' skulls by the hundreds of thousands under the Vatican. You separate men from women that God intended to be together, and you separate them and keep them apart. That's what you're going to end up with. Hard to believe an old 80-some-year-old man who's to be in God's place. He's guilty. Somebody else didn't do it. He's guilty. He got caught. Because he's like I am. You get into something, you don't know what you're doing. I told the students down at Marietta this past Tuesday, I don't even know the terminology, much less the technology. And I said, I heard on the news a while back something about TikTok. And I thought, they're talking about a German clock. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. Then I find out it's not tick-tock German clock. It's talking about some type of video programming, which I guess is not very good. Come, like everything else, come out of China. Now, this altar that you and I have is accessible to access it. And the word today is continually. And it's not the altar of sacrifice. Not the altar of sacrifice. God was satisfied with the sacrifice for the sins of the world. Jesus came as high priest, died, took his blood to heaven when he ascended, and it's there today, according to this book. The blood of Christ is there, and it's atoning blood of forgiveness for anyone that will come for salvation or as a Christian for cleansing. There's power in the blood. And God was satisfied because the high priest lives. And God is satisfied. No more altar for sacrifice. God's law has been satisfied. Now this altar is not the altar of sacrifice. It's the altar that was in the holy place where the priesthood functioned every day. Every day they were in there functioning. Showbread, the candlelight, and the altar of incense. Right up against that curtain that separated the two compartments. Now, they have no right. They have no right to this altar. They have no right. And he goes on to talk, and I want to, I don't have the time to explain all of this. You just can't do that in one message. There's enough in here for about five Sunday mornings. But in verse 11, the body of those beasts, going back to the old system, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, I just said that, he's using the system to illustrate his future point, are burned, and I want you to notice those next three words, without the camp. Outside the camp. Verse 12, wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Not in the city. Not in the temple. Jesus didn't die in the city or in the temple. He died outside the gate. Inside the city, inside the gate, was the system that Jesus had no part of, never joined, in any way associated, but rather strongly condemned, criticized that system to which the Jews were practicing. He had to go into the temple once three times and cleanse it for the corruption that the Jewish nation had brought the temple of God into. Remember, he said, it's supposed to be called the house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. So Jesus never died in the city. And Dean can testify, if you go to Israel today, there are two Calvaries and there's two tombs. Just like it was in the Cain. Right, Dean? Just like it was in the days of Cain and Abel. There's the good way. There's the evil way. There's the right way. There's the wrong way. And if you go to Israel today and you go to the city of Jerusalem, they'll take you inside the gate, inside the city, and show you and tell you this is where Christ died. It's all cluttered with all kinds of icons and all kinds of relics and incense burning and smelling to where you makes you about half sick. And then they'll walk you over a few yards and say, here's the tomb, which it says it was next to Calvary. This was all created by they. Not we. This was created by they. Our altar that we have, they have no right. Because they are in another system that man has built, man has created, and man has held ever since the day of Cain. And I was there in 1981. I learned probably as much on a 10-day trip to Israel as equal to a 2-year Bible college. Wow, quite a trip, one, Dean. Quite a trip. Now, the system, they've got no right to our altar. The system. He died outside the system. One evening, we got kind of done. Boy, isn't that great English. We finished a little early. Oh. Still learning English. We finished a little early with the tour, and we were in our rooms, and I was staying with two elderly gentlemen. There was three of us in our room. And there was a knock on the door, and I went to the door, and it was Preacher Guider. And he said, "Let's go for a walk." I said, "Yeah." Let me get my passport, my documents. So I got my things. Now, we did not stay inside the old Jerusalem. There's an old Jerusalem and there's a new Jerusalem. And we stood out, we went in the city, the old city, inside the old gates and the old wall that was built by the Turks back in the 1600s. We was in there and we toured all around there and so forth. That's where the archaeology is uncovering a lot of things today and around the outside of the wall and so forth. So we were staying in a hotel just outside the north wall, on the north side of the wall. So we walked down, we got down the elevator, went outside, walked along, and we were just walking casually, talking back and forth. I would have never been able to go to Israel if Dr. Guider wouldn't have made it possible. I went for half price. If it wouldn't have been for that, I'd have never got to go. And we were just kind of walking, talking along together and everything, and he said, "Hey, stop." He said, "Right there is where Christ died on Calvary." Whew. I want to tell you, my knees got so weak, I just about went down. And it's a hill outside the north gate, and it has two sunken-in eye sockets and a projecting rock that looks like the face of a skull. It's there today. I saw it. Dean saw it. Anybody else who's been to Israel saw it. That's where Christ died. Not in the city. Not in the city. That's they. That's their system. That's they. Not we. That's they. And I said, "Preacher, are you serious?" He said, "Yes. The tour guide will take us here tomorrow. I just want to show it to you tonight." I didn't hardly sleep that night for anxiety. It just does something to you. On top of that hill is a graveyard. That's what's up there, a graveyard on top of that hill. At the bottom of that hill is a big bus depot. I don't know if it's still there. Is it still there today? Still there today. A big bus depot where they park buses. And everybody in Jerusalem and Judea and on these guides and everything, they walk right by it every day, unnoticed. They have no clue what that hill was. So we visited, and then we left there. And back in the 1800s, when England ruled over Israel, there was a general by the name of Gordon. And he was sitting on the north wall, looking around and everything. And he looked at that hillside. And he was a believer. And he looked at that hillside and he said, "That's the face of a skull." And through more archaeology and testing and whatever, I don't know what all was involved, they determined, yes, that's where Christ died. He didn't die in that city. He died right there, outside the city. Like the Bible says, he died outside the city, not inside the city. They have a Calvary that's in it. We have a Calvary that's out of it. And so Gordon began to do some searching and looking because he knew the Bible said there was a sepulcher nearby. And he got to looking, and between the hill of Golgotha, the face of the skull, there's a path about that wide, and you follow that path down to a garden, and there's a tomb. There's the tomb. And the stone, and they make a little trough about that wide. The stone's about that thick, and it's probably 8 foot tall, and it's big. It's probably, 10 feet across, something like that. Maybe 10 feet high. And several men get that and they roll in that trough to seal up the hole. My friend, there's no stone. The hole's empty. And we walked in there. And archaeologists and scientists, you won't hear this on the news. You won't hear it from they. They went in there and fine-tooth combed that entire sepulchre, and it was proven never a body decayed in this tomb. Even Joseph of Arimathea, who owned it, was not buried there. Nobody ever stayed in there. There was somebody in there, but they didn't stay in there. And we're going to celebrate that hopefully in the spring. I'm watching the eastern sky any day now. That was a beautiful sunlight that Nancy put on the other day. That was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for him to come back. But anyway, we went out of that tomb. Nobody's ever died in there. It's open. And they call that the Protestant tomb. Our Calvary, out of the system. Our tomb, out of the system. We belong to Christ, who is outside the system, not in the system. And so a preacher, he does these things to you. He does these things to you. We're walking up that path, back up out of there. We drove down, but we walked. He said, let's go up in the garden. He said, we're going to have the Lord's table here. There was about 25 or 30 in our group from the church at Marietta. He said, we're going to have the Lord's table up here. Come on up, everybody. So we all went up in to the garden there between the tomb and Golgotha. And we had the Lord's table. And they got the bread, the juice out and everything. He looked at me and he said, you bring a devotion. I said, what? He said, you bring a devotion. I said, absolutely. And I don't say this for any wrong reason. I just report to you exactly the way it happened. I was crying so out of control, I couldn't say anything. And Preacher Goddard, after about 10 minutes, said, that's enough. Your message was well taken. Message was well taken. And I probably didn't say 10 words. What an experience. We and they. We and they. We have something they don't have. Now, we are the temple of God symbolically pictured. We have an altar symbolically pictured. And we are, according to Peter, a royal chosen priesthood. And what do priests do? They offer sacrifices. And to offer sacrifices, you have to have a what? Altar. But this is not the altar of sacrifice for sins. This is another altar, but it's called a sacrifice. Let's read it. I wanted to deal with the without. Jesus went out inside the camp for the purpose to set us apart outside with his own blood. Verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him. You want to find Christ? You won't find Christ in the system. You got to leave the system, turn your back on the system, walk out of the system. It is corrupt to the core. It's Christ not in it. Christ did not establish it. It's called Cain's religion, and Cain's religion took the program of God, intertwined it to make it look more interesting and more correct, but it's just as corrupt and just as wrong as it was when Cain established it. Let us therefore go unto him without the camp. You got to go out of it. If you want to find him, you won't find it in. You won't find Christ in that mess. Relics and incense burning and all kinds of icons, and the Greeks have theirs and the Romans have theirs, and it's just a cluttered nightmare of a mess. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. There is, if you stand outside and separated from the system, the clear system, if you stand outside of it, it's going to be a reproach. I'll be reproached for this message. I'll either get a mad face, or I'll get some type of a thumbs down, or I'll get maybe even a message if I'm lucky. For here, on this earth, we have no continuing city. They continue. What is that word, continuing? They are continuing in the system. They. It's not true. It's not accurate. It's not of God. But they're continuing in that system, in that city. We don't have that city. But we seek one to come. That's the same city Abraham was looking for. He looked for a city with had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Now finally, we get to our verse. Verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. And there's our word, continually. Just like they are continuing in their system, let us continue in the praise to him. It shouldn't be a once in a year activity. And a Christian ought to get down on their knees every night and thank God I was born in America. Because you could have been born anywhere. Thank God I found the truth and Jesus found me. I'm going to ask Preacher Guider as soon as I see him. I haven't seen him since he was up here. But I'm going to ask him. He preached a message standing right here on Sunday night, November the 8th. A powerful message. A powerful message. Strong message. And he said, They that pursue evil will die. I'm going to ask him, Preacher, I agree, that's exactly what the Bible says. But what do you do when evil pursues you? What do you do? We're going to answer that question on Wednesday night. What do you do when evil pursues you? You don't have to pursue it. It wants you. And it's getting our young people. Thank God for these young people that are in this church this morning. Thank God for that. But I want to tell you, you are a rare minority in this world in which we live. Most kids never see the inside of a church. All of their life, never see the inside of a church. So we offer the sacrifice. That's what that altar up in verse 10 is for, to offer. And what have we got on our altar? Praise. Praise. That's what's on our altar, is praise. It don't take character to complain. It don't take character to complain or gripe, criticize, condemn. It don't take character. As we preached last week, in everything, give thanks. That's sometimes hard to do. But that is a temperature of the healthiness of our soul. If we in the worst of times, and we in most difficult, and as Frosty taught this morning, discouraging times, if we can still praise, our soul is still healthy. Amen. That is, notice the word, continually. Not sometimes, or if I feel like it. This altar is to be occupied and stayed busy continually. Why? Because the other system never stops. The other system continually. After Jesus died, buried, resurrected, and when he died, God went into the temple and took that veil that's about that thick and tore it in two and opened up that holy of holies, the mercy seat, and where God dwelt and only the high priest could go. And he tore it and opened that veil and was saying to the world, now everyone can come to me. Just come to me. I am approachable. Come to me. The Jews went the next day and took linen and sewed all that back together and put the veil back up and kept man from God. That's they. That's that system. People don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear it, but I'm going to believe the Bible. Just thank God today you're in the we and not the they. Not the they. That's the system. Notice now, that is, in the second part of verse 15, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. His name. Now, we could spend Sundays and Sundays on his name. He was known in the Old Testament as Jehovah. Jehovah. Lord. The Creator. How do you reach young people like this that go to school and teachers and curriculum says there is no God, there is no creation, there is no Creator. This all evolved. You come from a Big Bang. You evolved billions of years ago. That's what they teach these young people. And then they come to Sunday school. And thank God, young people, you're coming to Sunday school. Thank God. And thank God for these down in junior church. But think of the thousands and thousands and thousands of young people out there that never have a thought about a God or a deity or a creator. The one we're to praise continually created me. And then on July the 3rd, 1978, he saved me. That's Jehovah. And there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name. Praise him. He was called Wonderful. He is called Counselor. You need counsel? Forget those. Just forget that system. Just forget it. You need counsel? He's called the Counselor. He's called the Mighty God. He's called the Everlasting Father. He's called the Prince of Peace. Praise him for his name. When he came, he was called Emmanuel, God with us. And he was called Jesus, Savior. God coming in the form of man, Emmanuel, being called Jesus to save us. Praise him, thank him. Continually should be upon our lips. That's what that altar was for. Listen. The Holy of Holies was only visited once a year. That's not where the activity took place every day. That holy place when Jesus ascended went to heaven. And that's the holy place up there right now. And we're the priesthood down here. And we're functioning. And we've got bread. We've got light. We've got an altar. Listen, my friend. Every day on that altar, there is to be offered to him praise. for His name continually. Forget about the government. Forget about what's going on in this country. Forget about the virus. Forget it and just praise Him for what He's done for you. His name. Verse 16's instructions. I'm going to close with two verses here. But in verse 16, it says, do good and communicate. That word communicate doesn't mean speech. It means to give. Share what you have with others. Do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God's well pleased. Take what you got and share it with others. But concerning His name, now I want to look at two passages. The book of Philippians. No other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Philippians chapter 2. For the sake of time, begin reading in verse 9. I'm in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given, not Washington, not Moscow, not Beijing. They've not exalted him. No. But God has exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Praise Him. I would rather say Jesus than I would virus. I would rather say Jesus instead of virus. People need to catch the virus of Jesus. I would rather say Jesus than I would say election. I don't mean I'm not concerned, and that don't mean I don't love my country. But my friend, in my heart, there is a priority, and His name is Jesus, my Creator and my Savior. And upon my lips is to be offered every day on the altar of my heart, praise to Him and thanks to Him for His name continually. God gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Bow, Pukin, whatever your name is. Bow, Rocket Man, bow. Sports players, you want to bow and bend the knee? Get in practice, because you're going to be bending the knee to King Jesus, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. That's in the earth, that's called football. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee, every tongue, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess He is Lord. Amen. I'm looking for that day. We're to be doing that right now. Continually. There's to be an altar on your heart. Altar on your heart. And you're to be offering on your heart. Now for our last verse, Psalm 50. Psalm 50. the last verse. Psalm 50, verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Isn't that wonderful? We've got an altar, and that altar is for praise and thanksgiving. It's a spiritual altar, and it's for we, it's for us. And when we continually give thanks and praise to his name for all that he's done for us, that glorifies him continually. Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Amen. I had a bad night last night. Bad night. I told Frosty this morning, didn't sleep much all night. This was burning in my soul. God's people are consumed with all this stuff that's going on in the world. They're being overtaken. And it's robbing God. It's robbing God of rightly being praised and thanked. Don't get caught up in it. Don't get caught up in it. We, last week, in everything. Today, continuing in. Using, maybe you need to wipe the dust off the altar. And there may be some other things on that altar that needs to be cleaned and taken off. Not needed. It's just cluttering up the altar and hindering it from being used to praise and give thanks to his name. You want to glorify God? You want to glorify our Creator? You want to glorify our Savior? Praise him. He's given you an altar. Praise him. Praise him. Today, praise him. Tomorrow, praise him. This is not a once in a time when we feel. This is to be done continually. They do it in their system. They do it in their system. But all too often, our altar goes unused and silent. God help us to turn that around and get it back on track. Amen? Amen. Amen. Facebook friends, thank you for connecting with us this morning.